Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Hawkweek podcast. I'm Hawkweek editor Matthew Appleby, and today I'm with Majestic Trees' Elliot Barden. Elliot headed a field of 15 to win the AIPH Young International Grower of the Year Award at IPM Essen in January, and he's the Production and Education Manager for Majestic Trees. He studied at Kew before joining mature tree supplier Majestic in 2018. So, welcome, Elliot.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Now, tell us about winning the Young International Grower of the Year Award. What was that like?
Oh, that was an honour. It was a fantastic evening. I never expected to win the award, but to win it, it was a complete honour, complete surprise, to be honest with you.
Brilliant. Now, just going back to the start of your career, teachers, I believe, were against you becoming a horticulturalist, which is quite a familiar tale we hear in horticulture. So what was your experience there?
Yeah, so not all of them, but some of them were sort of deeply against not going to university. I think their thoughts were that if you didn't go to university, you couldn't make anything of your career. So they were often trying to send me down that route when it was clear that it was just something I didn't want to do. And so that sort of objection I had to sort of put to one side, the people that didn't support me and take the advice from the people that did. And thankfully it still paid off, but it was just a real concern for me that, you know, for other people in this industry, it might be other barriers such as that might prevent people sort of pursuing their dreams.
And I guess that's driven your passion for horticulture careers and school leavers and apprenticeships and helping with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got a real passion for helping younger people see. I mean, horticulture is such a wide, diverse industry. I don't see a reason why someone who's got even a sort of a spark for it can not be sort of guided to be developed and form into horticulture. So yeah, actually seeing these people who are showing some interest, I really want to sort of coax them into it, guide them and support them.
So how do you get young people into horticulture?
I think it starts at a school level. I think young people, you know, not everybody is cut out for an office job. I mean, people need to see sort of the outside world, the environment. And I think people that show interest in that need to be encouraged into it. And I think that's through careers advisors, through teachers, developing people, maybe even including horticulture on the curriculum. And then after that, there needs to be a much sort of wider scale publicity event for what's on option at colleges and that kind of thing. And really show people or navigate people through the path of career progression.
How could the government help?
So through further support for the things like apprenticeships, I mean, apprenticeships are a great entry. It's how I started. And I think the sort of practical and theory aspect that you gain from that is sort of it's, there's no equivalent. And I think more support towards apprenticeships could definitely be a help from the government side of things, but also some media and marketing opportunities as well, and more support for horticulture in general.
Now, you spoke at Majestic Tree's 20th anniversary celebration last year, so tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, that was a fantastic sort of industry event, bringing everyone together and really outlining what are the issues for horticulture and the problem in the future, and actually coming together and having some real, you know, in-depth discussions about how we can get around them. I think people, especially younger people, are going to have this this burden that we're going to have to come together and discuss solutions to overcome all these issues that are coming up.
There's a peat ban coming in 2026. Do you think the industry is ready for it?
I don't think commercial horticulture is ready for the peat ban. I think it's come about very, very quickly. I don't think there's been much support for the for companies, and I think those that have already been doing trials on how they're going to overcome it have come up with some big issues and big questions that have not been answered. At Majestic, we've done regular trials for the past almost 10 years now, with the really upscaled trial this year in anticipation for the ban, and we still don't have answers. So actually, it's quite a scary time, heading into this sort of darkness without knowing the real answers. You know, we're certainly going to have to reduce the number of plant species we can grow, which is it's not good for horticulture in general.
What other consequences might there be?
So peat's a very, very good product for growing plants in, for various reasons that we're all aware of. But actually switching to something just because we're aware that peat has its issues without actually joined up thinking and actually assessing what the other options are, can be just as much of an issue as peat itself. I mean, the carbon sort of tracking of things, products like coir, prove that, you know, it can be just as harmful on the environment as extracting peat. So actually assessing our options and coming up with something. It's a bit like with the cars and everything like that. We were all told petrol was bad, so everyone changed to diesel, and then diesel was bad, so we went back to petrol, and then electric's been put in. And I mean, all these different options, there have always been an alternative, whereas with peat, we've been told to stop using peat, but we've not been given an alternative where it's as good, the guarantee of supply, and the product is fit for purpose.
Peat was one of the issues at the 20th anniversary symposium. So was biosecurity. So what was discussed?
Well, the options for replacing it, I mean, there's plenty, but the thing with growing large trees, such as at Majestic, is it puts forward different issues that, say, for a bedding plant would put. For example, the integrity of the root ball, when it's, you know, turned over for tying up or loading onto lorries, it is possible to grow plants in a hard container where it's all contained, put them on trolleys and take them off, and the roots are all contained. Whereas on a tree, when you're actually taking the pot off, the air pot off, there's nothing to contain this before you root ball it, and that root to soil binding we're just not seeing with any of the replacements. So actually, the integrity of the root ball, it just gets destroyed whenever you try and ship it. It's been a bit of a nightmare, to be honest.
Ah, yes. Now, tell us a bit about biosecurity and the issues that you've been dealing with.
Yeah, so there was a problem last year that we had where pine processionary moth was imported on a pine tree, and the DEFRA just sort of exploded into this whole mirage of possible options that pine processionary moth could also be on. including cedars and ABs and other things that we've never actually seen. There's no actual photographic evidence that these pests are on these trees. So their reaction to the issue was totally out of scale. It could have been dealt with. We could have the implications to Majestic could have been a lot less, and we could have worked with DEFRA then and in the future to actually guarantee the UK's biosecurity.
So what bigger issues does this bring up for the industry?
So biosecurity naturally is a huge topic within sort of UK. There's been so many different diseases coming over the years that have threatened particularly trees, from Dutch elm to ash dieback to sudden oak decline, sudden oak death, acute oak decline. The list goes on. There's no two ways about it that the nursery trade does spread the diseases. But at the same time, we've got to be sort of really pragmatic about the threat, the diseases that are being transmitted and how they're dealt with and who is dealing with them. Because some nurseries that are professional in where they source, in where they how they inspect and how they treat diseases actually can act as a form of quarantine. Whereas there are traders that are just importing things straight in. There's no inspections. They're coming straight into people's gardens, and that's where the issue really lies. As was oak processionary moth. So, I think the industry has got to be looked at as a whole, and I think some form of sort of accreditation as we've been got to given to the good guys and the people that are importing things without the knowledge or the resources, I think they've got to be stopped somehow. Otherwise, there will be a huge threat to the UK biosecurity. It's one of those things that it's of big significance. Trees are incredibly important in the landscape, and we can't risk losing them.
Plant Healthy exists. Do you think that's enough, or there needs to be something else?
I think Plant Healthy is definitely a step in the in the right direction. In our experience, there's a lot of paperwork and a lot of box ticking that actually might not be. The smaller companies might not have the resources to do that. So I think it's definitely a step in the right direction, but we've got to make it available so that large companies, small companies, it's all fair and equal, so that we can all be accredited as to whether we're good or whether we're not. And not whether we have the time to tick boxes and write documents that that tick the boxes of the Plant Healthy. So I think it's definitely a step in the right direction, but it could do with some reevaluation and different strains of thought, really.
Excellent. Well, in a future podcast, we are going to have Plant Healthy on. But just to finish up, we always ask our podcast guests, what is their favourite plant?
My favourite plant. I studied while I was at Kew quite a lot of the Southern Hemisphere conifers. So I think upon visiting Chile, my favourite plant is the Fitzroya cuprosoides. I think the scale, the size and the heritage of that tree just tops everything else, in my opinion.
Brilliant. Well, thanks very much to Majestic Trees' Elliot Barden. I'm Hawk Week editor Matthew Appleby. Make sure you never miss a Hawk Week podcast. Subscribe to or follow Hawk Week podcasts via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or your preferred podcast platform. Once again, thanks to Elliot, and see you next time.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.